We're turning today to 2 Samuel 19. And I'm considering verse 23. We read in verse 23, "Therefore the king said unto Shimei, Thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him." I want to speak this morning about the king who forgives. In these studies, we are considering from 2 Samuel. Our intentions are threefold. One, to show God's redemptive plan in history, in the lives of men. David and his family are those mentioned in the scripture that we are reading, and they are part of God's redemptive plan in history. The second thing I want to show in these studies is how God's redemptive history is meant to reveal to us the coming of Christ and his salvation. Everything in the scriptures points to that plan. The third intention for these studies from 2 Samuel is to show us the pitfalls in life that we are to avoid, and the promises to claim. We've seen some unbelievable things about a man who was declared to be righteous, David. And some of the things we read about him, we are ashamed. And if God was to publish in black and white my life, and how it was, and how it is, I would be ashamed. But there is forgiveness with God. There's a second chance and a third chance and beyond when we know Jesus as our Savior. It would be most valuable to us in this room not merely to understand the scriptures from a historical perspective, but to find that what is taught in the scriptures about salvation is true about us, lest we perish. In 2 Samuel 17, David and a few men crossed the Jordan River, running for their lives. In retreat and humiliation as they fled from an upstart son, Absalom. Here in chapter 19, David returns in restoration and reconciliation. His return is marked by the resurgence of five famous individuals, and I often wonder why these five, because five often is a number of redemption. There were five wise virgins and there were five foolish. But I'm not going to endeavor to teach numerology this morning. But there were five who came back to meet him. We've already alluded to one of them in our last sermon, Amasa, the nephew of David, who had changed his allegiance and went with Absalom. And here he was given an honored place in the kingdom. But four other noticeable individuals came to meet the king. We will look at three of them today, briefly, and we would highlight two. The first is Shimei, who was once hostile toward the king as he fled from Absalom. He taunted him. Then there was Ziba. You remember him, who provided the king and his followers with aid. A few donkeys and some raisins and some nourishing food for the battle. Ziba provided the king and his followers. But Ziba had a blot on his character. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. We will look at him briefly. He was a pretender in the kingdom and sought to slaughter his master, Mephibosheth. You remember that? He was to take care of this man. But he sought to slander him. He's like a preacher who is fleecing the people. A lot of charismatic preachers are like that. The third person we will consider is Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, whatever it is, who came to the king anxiously awaiting his coming. The poor fellow didn't shave, didn't clean up. He's a picture of the forgiven sinner awaiting his Lord to complete his salvation. Beautiful pictures of the atonement, brethren. Beautiful. I was just scratching the surface when I open up some of these things to you. I trust that in your own Bible reading, that you would find the scriptures rewarding as I scratch the surface. But the fourth person that we will consider in the future is Barzillai. We will consider him in a future study, maybe next week. But I bring attention to our first heading today, Shimei's approach, verses 16 through 20. In verse 16 we read, "And Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David." Notice he is with the men of Judah. He is a Benjamite. He is a loyalist of Saul, if you know the history. Now he is on the right team. The last time we saw Shimei, he was not a friend of David. As I said, he taunted him. He threw stones at him as David was fleeing in shame. Here he approaches the king in haste. It is a wonderful picture of how an offender of God is to approach the Lord Jesus. The scripture prophesied in Isaiah 55, verse 5. "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he, Christ, hath glorified thee." Shimei and those with him who hasten to meet the king is a reminder, brethren, to us that we ought to see the urgency in approaching the Lord Jesus for grace and mercy. He's a picture. Shimei, as I said, was a Benjamite. It meant that he was once a loyalist to Saul, the king. And we shared this before. After David became king, Shimei lost all rights to an inheritance. He did not want to submit to the rule of King David. He threw stones at him. He blamed him. Here, as the king returns to reclaim his throne, Shimei is no fool. He hastens to meet the king. Verse 17 continues. "There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, servant of the house of Saul and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. No, these sons and servants were supposed to serve Mephibosheth. They left him somewhere back there. As they went over Jordan before the king, Shimei brought other Benjamites with him, including the notorious Ziba, who supplied David with aid and a few donkeys when he was fleeing from Absalom back in 2 Samuel 16. But as I said, Ziba was a rascal. He was a wolf in sheep's clothing. But he was a servant of Saul. We can assume that he was not for real. So Shimei approaches the king in haste. He approaches him with a company of Benjamites. But he approaches the king in worship. Listen to these words in verses 18 through 20. They went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household. This is a privilege. The king ran on foot. He comes back in a ferry. And to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did previously, perversely, the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. You see, he recalls what he did. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. He's on the right path, this rascal. Now, whether this historically is a true, and a lot of us get into things in the Bible that we ought not get into. Don't come and ask me if Shimei was saved. The material is to teach us spiritual truth, not to speculate who was saved and who was not. The only body you should speculate who was saved or not is yourself. Whether he was true or false in his confession, we don't know. What we know is that this is a message for us today to seek the Lord while he is near. David was near. Shimei came to his senses while David was available as he heads for Jerusalem. The Bible says, for thy servant know that if I have sinned, that I have sinned, therefore behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my Lord. Notice what he calls him, the king. So this is Shimei's approach to the king David. He hastened to meet him. He had offended him in the past. He recants his hostility. He fell before his feet, paying him homage. He begged for mercy and forgiveness. And he asks, what is your approach to the Lord Jesus? When you come to church, are you coming to see a friend? Are you forced to come? Are you coming to a building? Are you in haste to meet the Savior? Are you prepared? Are you preparing the day before to meet him? Even though the historical setting of 2 Samuel may be hard for us to understand, there is no difficulty in understanding the message from God's word. you and I by nature are enemies of God. And we must seek reconciliation through the Son of David. These messages are so clear, they're so concise, they're so pertinent. So this is our first point. The approach, Shimei, he's a model picture of the one who is truly seeking reconciliation with the Lord Jesus. What they will do, the Bible says, we are to agree with our adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest the adversary bring you to the judge and you are cast into prison. Our adversary is Jesus, the law of God. Agree with him quickly, lest he throw us into prison, hell. Our next head, we see David's disposition. I want to consider David's disposition because I am awestruck by David's response to Shimei. What was his attitude towards the penitent sinner? It was one of contrast to Abishai, of course, the brother of Joab, verse 21. Just forgive me, brethren, for this constant drinking of this water. I don't want to be a slave to it, but sometimes we struggle to maintain a moist throat. Verse 21 of chapter 19. Shimei came before the king and asked for mercy. Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this? Because he cursed the Lord's anointed. David, don't you remember what he did?" Abishai's attitude has not changed from the first time he met Shimei back in 2 Samuel 16:10. When Shimei cursed the king and threw stones at him, Abishai requested his head. Here he recalls that act and he demands the death of Shimei. Shouldn't he be put to death? Now, in principle, Abishai is correct. He sought to apply the law. He sought justice. The law demands death for disobedience and disrespect of the king. Exodus 22:28, "Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people." Abishai sought to apply the law, but David reacts as Christ on how he reacts to you and me. Look at verse 22. David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah?" Notice David refers to Joab also. David has issues with Joab. And that's why he demoted him. Later on, you will see that David had issues with Joab. Even though Joab was loyal, he was beside himself. "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me?" Isn't this what Jesus said to Peter? "Shall there be any man put to death this day in Israel? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel?" It's not boastful. I'm the king. I'm the sovereign one. I determines who live or who die. What are you telling me? Are your eye evil because mine is good? It's the disposition. It is always natural to you and me to seek revenge. We are like this. I am like that. Pay back. But David is a picture of Christ who stands to forgive. We can learn three things from this incident. One, it takes a work of grace to change the heart of men. Abishai maintained a revengeful spirit in spite of seeing the king's disposition towards evil men that hurt him. He didn't learn from his master, like so many of us today. Second, we can learn how David's character had not changed over time. When he fled from Absalom, he had a forgiving spirit. When he returned to reclaim his throne, he maintained that disposition. Character never changes. How do you and I act towards those who offend us in this church or at work? How do you respond? Peter asks his Lord, how often shall I forgive my brothers? Seven times? The Lord said to him, no, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Keep forgiving. Today, many Christians can sit in the pews of the church with an unforgiving disposition that you can't see, with a chip on their shoulder, always in a corner, isolated. We can draw a lesson from Abishai today. Those who do not know grace can never be gracious to others. You hear what I say? Those who do not know grace can never be gracious to others. Abishai desired David to vindicate his enemy. Pay him back. He's like the sons of thunder who wanted to call fire down from heaven to destroy the unbelieving Samaritans. Lord, you want us to call fire down? Jesus rebuked them. Where are you getting that spirit from? Brethren, we live in a season of grace. We are to preach both sides of the gospel. God is just. He will punish sin. Don't forget that. But if you are willing to receive him, he will forgive all your transgressions. Question is, are you willing to come to Christ on his terms? Think of our blessed Savior. In the midst of the taunts and the cursing, he was able to say, Father, forgive them. You know not what they do. He turned to a thief on the cross with him and promised him salvation. Both thieves started out the same way, cursing and mocking. And then God brought one to his senses. He began to witness, Doth thou not fear God? We are in the same condemnation. Like Shimei. He looked to the Savior. And he asked for forgiveness. This is you. This is me. We stand in the presence of the crucified Savior, mocking him. You don't want him. But would to God that you would come to your senses today. Don't think that by sitting here you are born from above. Don't think like that. Abishai called for the man to be killed. We can draw a lesson. We live in a season of great, when we think of our Savior, when we think of Stephen, stoned to death, Paul, Saul, holding the clothes
the criminals. Stephen said, Lord, forgive them.
You see, brethren, this is the disposition. Verse 23, we read the gracious words of David in our text. Therefore the king said unto Shimei, you shouldn't die. And the king swore unto him, only Almighty God can make this pronouncement. Yes, David is promising not to execute him. But there's another death in view. You shall not die. Two things the king did. One, he makes a promise. The king said to Shimei, thou shalt not die. Shimei knew that upon David's return to the throne, he was to be executed for cursing the king. He knew that. You and I should consider what we deserve. I know I deserve the lowest part of hell. The hottest part of hell. I deserve. And some of us think we are basically good. Second, David made an oath. And the king swore unto him. No, two things David did. He promised life and he made an oath. Men were not supposed to swear. But David swore because of who he represents. It's a pointed picture of what Hebrews 6:17 say, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, saying, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. We are told that those who believe have fled for refuge to Christ. Just like Shimei fled to David, we flee to Christ. We started out in our lives being hostile, cursing, not with cuss words, but in our very disposition. We do not want the gospel. We do not appreciate those laboring faithfully in the gospel. We don't like them. They annoy us. God describes us saying, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. Today, many are not ready to admit that this is the natural disposition of man. We are told that man is basically good, but wonderfully, this is not the disposition of our Savior. We should be ever thankful for the disposition the Lord had towards us. It's not like man. He doesn't hold bitterness. He's compassionate. He is forgiving. He is of tender mercies, brethren. So we have viewed two main heads. The approach of Shimei, he ran, he worshiped, he confessed. We saw the disposition of the king in contrast to Abishai. The king was forgetful of the wrongs done to him. He was forgiven towards the offender. I hope you get the picture. Question was asked, oh, is my disposition towards people in my church that I don't like? Thirdly,
a devoted servant, 24 through 30. It completes actually the narrative. We turn our attention now to another figure who approached David as he was about to enter Jerusalem, Mephibosheth, who will reveal Ziba's character. We have already said in a prior message that Mephibosheth is a picture of a redeemed sinner. You know the story. You've read it many times. I'm not going to go over it. If you had any doubts about it, here he is again. He came to the king just as he was when the king left him. This poor guy had not come to terms with how David was treated. He was sulking. You know, we get like this sometimes, you know. It's like the disciples huddled in the room sulking. They lost their Lord. Till he appeared to them. Verse 24, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king and had neither dressed his feet nor trimmed his beard nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Now this speaks of Ziba, who did not pay attention to this man. He's like a preacher who's not paying attention to the sin of his people. He wasn't concerned. He was only concerned about the inheritance. Ziba, wolf, sheep's clothing. He should have been making sure that this man had fresh bandage, a haircut. But I'm speaking in spiritual language because some of you don't cut your hair. Now this appearance reflects a state of mourning. Someone who was longing for the king's return. Why would God include such trivial information about this individual? Who wants to hear of Mephibosheth's appearance with dirty clothes? Well, you should want to hear because he represents a believer. He represents a person that was redeemed. The Christian has remained in sin. We are always in need of cleansing. We walk a dirty path as we humbly await the Savior. That's why God gave the church to us. There it is again. It's either we are Ziba or we are called to minister. This guy reflects. You're not perfect. You still got sin. You still got dirty clothes. It's only when Christ comes, he gives us a new outfit. This thing is dripping with gospel. We should be interested in how this man looked. Mephibosheth was a dedicated servant. David had doubts about his genuineness. David didn't fully trust him because of what Ziba said about him. And you know, you can badmouth another Christian. Notice what we read in verse 25. So it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? How come you didn't come with me?" Something fishy. David is not all-knowing. He's human. But he's a picture. He has doubts about Mephibosheth's motives because David had earlier made a rash decision back in 2 Samuel 16. He listened to Ziba's slanderous report, and he disenfranchised Mephibosheth. He took away his inheritance and gave it to Ziba.
this is what people can get. They can get what they want in this life, even the ministry that they're fighting for. David made a rash decision. And he disenfranchised this man that couldn't help himself. So this time around, David see him. David said, "What? Tell me why you didn't come with me, Mephibosheth. Tell me the truth." Mephibosheth cleared the air. Listen to verse 26 through 28 of chapter 19 as we work our way down. He answered, "My lord, O king, my servant, Bathsheba, deceived me. For thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. Promised to give him a donkey. He took them for himself. And he have slandered thy servant unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes." You know, what he's saying is, I don't want no inheritance. I don't want no, I just depend on your goodness. "For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I to cry any more unto the king? I'm satisfied with your goodness." What a lesson. Ziba is exposed for who he truly was. He was a fraud from the get-go, a wolf in sheep's clothing. The Bible says, "Behold, your sin will find you out." You can play the hypocrite's part in the church. You can play the hypocrite's part well, but you'll be found out. Notice how David seemed exasperated by the mistake and by what he did. And the rift between Mephibosheth and Ziba, verse 29. And we get in there, and the king said unto him, "Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land." You see, he changed course now. He split it. He says, "I give you the inheritance, but now I say, split it, divide it." But look at what Mephibosheth says in verse 30. He said unto the king, "Yeah, let him take all. For as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house, that's all I wanted, to see your return. Oh, brethren, I pray that you are a devoted servant. I pray that you are not fighting for this world's goods. I pray this. As much as I have labored with this, this has spoken to me deeply. This Ziba and this Mephibosheth, David was rash. The Bible says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly to him." David made a mistake the first time. Here, the dedicated servant exposes the deception of Ziba, and David divides the inheritance. This is the immediate layout of our narrative today, brethren. The approach of Shimei to the king. It was a reconciliatory approach. This is how we are to approach the Savior, beseeching him for salvation. We saw the king's disposition. It is in contrast to man's. He's not like man. His ways are different. We just saw a dedicated servant, one who waited upon his Lord, one that was satisfied with redemption,
One that did not clamor over this world's goods. What you and I can learn from this study today should be by way of a threefold application. One, we should learn the urgency of making peace with God. Today, you should see it an urgent thing to consider. Shimei teaches a lesson. He knew deep down in his heart what he did when David the king was fleeing in shame. Let's go back in 2 Samuel 16, verses 5, 6, and 7, so that we can refresh our memory. 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 7. There we read, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left." He not only threw stones at David, he threw stones at those who were with David. And thus Shimei, when he cursed, he said, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord have returned upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord have delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. He cussed him out. You will use in today's language, and the cussing that I get sometimes, just recently, you must tolerate it. But here you see an urgency. David never responded to the insults hurled at him. David trusted in his God that one day, he would return. Shimei, this time around, had a change of heart. He ran. He bowed the knee. He worshiped. He heard good news. You shall not die. As I said, it is reminiscent of the two thieves who stood in the presence of the crucified Savior. Both of them started out on the same path. One came to his senses. And many of you, as polite as you sit and listen, many of you who sit in these chairs have not seen the urgency of making your calling and election sure. As your years slip away, we should see the urgency. Many are running from pillar to post instead of making themselves right and seeking the Lord while he may be found. Today is the day of grace. Tomorrow belongs to the devil. Instead of men run and see an urgency, they're running everywhere else. We ought to give a more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest any time we let them slip. The Bible says, "For if the word that was spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense, who should we escape? Who neglect so great salvation, which was first spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed by us who heard him."
Today, people in the church are no longer spiritually stirred by the preaching of the gospel. They want another band, another special song. The signs of the times we're living in. I think God has made his word plain and simple. I have moved very slowly and methodically, deliberately, to teach the gospel. All men, including myself, are as Shimei. He saw the suffering king. He mocked him. All men know of the cross here today. All men know that Christ suffered on the cross. We know. We celebrate Good Friday and Easter. And some people ain't got no right celebrating anything. We know and we have heard and we have been hearing of his second coming. But yet it is foolishness for some of you. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those perishing. It's the power of God to those who believe. Shimei pictures all of us. And we see the urgency of seeking forgiveness. We see a second important message, the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, mercy. Of course, we look at David. We look at this through the life of David. He responded graciously. David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should be adversaries to me? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? Don't you know that I am the king?" For the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." The king swore to him. The Bible says, "Where sin abound, grace did much more abound." God commended his love towards us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is gospel. You don't have to go anywhere else to hear it. It's gospel. Some of us don't like church, don't like the gospel. When we can get away from it, we go. God is merciful. He's merciful. We say we have no sin, we lie. Do not the truth. It's not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every day, make this a practice. Every day. Confess is not to repeat a litany of words. It is to say the same thing that God says about us and turn away day by day. When we do this, we will prove the Lord to be merciful. It is of his mercies that we are not consumed. When we present ourselves as sacrifice, you should see an urgency. I should see an urgency in seeking peace with God. Salvation, I think I heard this morning, is not a secret thing. Don't tell me, "Oh yeah, I'm saved. Well, that's you. But that's not what the Bible says about you. People can tell you quickly, "Oh, I ain't see no difference between me and Brother Tate." But how do you know Brother Tate's heart? We saw the mercy. Jesus, able to save to the uttermost them that call upon him.
Shimei. Lastly, we see the loyalty of a redeemed sinner. The last one, I went through them individually to show you the applications. The loyalty of a redeemed sinner. This is seen in Mephibosheth. We saw him earlier. Here we see him again coming to meet his king, unshaven, unclean, in a state of mourning. In the king's absence, satisfied with redemption. Is this you? I don't know. He said, "Oh, right, do I have to cry for anything else? Since you have granted me a place at your table, and the best thing some of you can do is cry. Cry. Gripe. Complain." He said, "What right do I have to complain? I have been granted a place at the Lord's table. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness, mercy, follow me all the days." And by the way, all the days of my life, not me here on earth. And the psalmist qualifies it. "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." My favorite Seth, you see these things? Brethren, when you and I understand the worth of the Savior and the value of redemption, we will stop grumbling and worship. Break down this door to get in. When the door is open, we come in to meet the king. Like Shimei. We will wait humbly for his appearing, whether in death or when he returns the second time. Brethren, may God bless you. These studies are very, very encouraging. Just pray for me as we continue. When we begin to get to chapter 20, we get nervous because we know that we don't have much more chapters to share. And we break in. What am I going to say next? Pray the Lord will show us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, it is not simply history. For some, it is history. For others, it is a well mine of spiritual truth. We pray you will help us to apply your word. We pray for your people that they would understand your word. But we pray mostly that we would live your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.